confidence in providence. Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 27 and 28. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, too many people in the West, with all our knowledge, our power and wealth, the doctrine of God's providence is disgusting, even repulsive. Why do they find it that repulsive? Because this doctrine that God controls every thought and every action is abhorrent to many because it destroys the supremacy of man. It is not, therefore, a surprise that man has diligently tried in this post-Christian, post-modern era to kill God, or at least to declare him dead, so man could reign supreme. But the Christian welcomes this doctrine, especially when it is properly explained, understood, and applied. That's, of course, where the difficulty comes. Some don't teach or understand this doctrine well. And when they don't properly understand it, they rob themselves of its blessing and rob God of the praise for his providence. So give attention to God's word regarding God's providence. And our headings are: God explains providence, and then man applies providence. Our goals are that upon properly understanding that God rules and controls every creature and every action, that you will then stop worrying about what you can't control, and that you will start worshiping God better. That you will school your children in this doctrine so that they can enjoy its benefits. So there are many things to consider, many things to learn, and we begin then under the heading, God Explains Providence. Question: what do you understand by the providence of God? Together, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. Now, one dictionary defines providence as the guardianship and control exercised by a deity. But who is this deity? Only the Christian has the answer. Only Jehovah God controls every creature and every action. Only Jehovah God is guardian. Only Jehovah God has control. So when you don't get the job you want, that's God's providence. Later, when you find out that the company folded and you end up with a better job, that is God's providence. See, one looked bad, one happened good. Both are, in fact, God's providence. Jehovah's providence, not Allah, not Brahma, or any other gods, but God in heaven. If you miss the bus, that is God's providence. If you get on the bus and you get into an accident, that's God's providence. You don't say, well, that's bad luck. Whether it's good or appears good to you, whether it appears bad, it's God's providence. Now, because God controls all things and all people, it means nothing spins off into space in some meaningless direction. You know, if you get sodium and chlorine, you add them together in the right circumstances, you get salt. Now, you need a couple of chlorine atoms. But that's the way God planned it. It doesn't turn into sulfuric acid. It doesn't turn into chocolate. It's going to be what God made it to be. That's God's sovereign control. So you can see right away, there's a blessing here. I talked about the fact that some things might not appear to be nice, and you think, oh no, that, how come God controls things and bad things happen? Well, the Bible's saying God actually controls all things, and He keeps an order that is there for you. No one escapes God's eyes. No one escapes God's hands. He controls the loose wheels on the semi-truck and directs it to where it makes the stop. Who didn't think about this a few weeks ago when there's some family members killed, including kids, on the 400 highway when the wheel came off of a truck? It could have gone anywhere. But it went to where this family was in this car. And killed multiple family members. That was part of God's providence. Jeremiah wrote, and let's read together from chapter 23, verse 23 together. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? So wherever the Lord, whatever part of this earth you may be, the Lord is there. He sees, He knows, He controls. So President Obama and Prime Minister Trudeau cannot be independent of God's providence, though they may act like they are by their actions, as if they don't have to give an account to God. But when God wishes, He raises up some. When God wishes, He brings down some. We looked already, mentioned earlier, about the fact of Premier Wynne being there by God's appointment. Wouldn't it be great if our leaders understood that the Lord was seeing everything they did, that they will work and live obediently? And even so, with all their waywardness, our leaders are really still controlled by God. Even though you see some of the wicked things that these leaders have done, and they have done many wicked things, for sure. Look at what Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, look at what it says about the kings, the leaders. Together, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of waters, He turns it wherever He wishes. So can God thwart President Obama's bills? Yes, or what he's promoting? Can He stop him from giving money to kill children in many parts of the world, as President Obama has done? Yes, He could. That's His control. Now, there's a different thing of what we might want, but we don't know everything. God does whatever He wishes for His purposes. Scientists might announce a new scientific law, and you might admire it, but scientists only discover what God had put in place already. I mentioned the example of how these atoms work together, and they will produce what God says. We discover it and say, oh, we know how to make salt. Well, God is one who made the elements in the first place, and He made the first salt. God controlled the elements of the scientific fact. The earth did not start to go around the sun when man discovered it. And it took a long time for man to really discover it, apart from what God had already said in His Word. Uranium did not develop explosive properties when man started making bombs. They were already that way. God made them that way. God even moves the heart of the most wicked. Unlike what Muslims believe, they have a theory, or one of their teachings, is that there's some things Allah can't do. He can't forgive some people some sins, so He will have to go to the one was hurt by someone else and said, please, please forgive him. Allah is kind of stuck, according to the imams that we've had discussions with. But that's not how God works. God can move even the stubbornest heart to bow before Him. Even the tiniest things are in God's control, not just the big things. And He has established a purpose even for the tiniest things. Look at an example, Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Together, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And here's a question. Do you know how many hairs fall from your head every day? Unless you have none, you probably don't know the answer to that question. But each hair, according to the scripture, seems to have a number. You don't know. You don't know how many you've fallen off. No one can move a finger or a thought without your Father's providential control. Remember Job that I alluded to? Let's read from Job 1 verse 12 together. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. When the Lord says, you're not to touch him. You're not to touch his body. Eventually the Lord gave him permission to touch his body. But when the Lord says, don't touch, he was held at bay. That's the power of God. And that's an important thing to grasp, and you'll see why in a few minutes. See, God controls a drop of rain that falls and has a purpose for that drop of rain. He does not simply provide food for you, but there's a purpose behind His provision of food. Whatever little thing He does, there's a purpose that's behind it. Rats have a purpose. Mosquitoes have a purpose. Zika virus has a purpose. God has a purpose for everything that happens. But not only does God control the big things, not only does God control the little things, but God controls them using various methods. He may use people, He may use things, or He may work by miraculous means and avoid human means altogether. He does not need you. He could work without you. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24. Together, they do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. That's how God works. He controls the early rains were necessary when you were planting for the plants to grow. And just before there was a full ripening of the grain, they needed the latter rains. That was what God provided. Then He needed a dry spell for harvesting. The Lord provides those as well. So He could work with you or without you. God may even use what appears to be chance, but it is not. God says in His Word what will happen, and it gets done. Look at the example in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. Together, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. You know, that's like you have dice, and you throw the dice, and it goes in a number, and you think, oh, that was lucky. No, even that was determined by God. You don't always know. But God controls that. Now consider one of the peculiar ways that God works providentially. A man may not have done something bad, but God still ordains troubles for him. This is not karma. Karma is not a thing. It's not real. That's an imagination of some pagan person's heart. and it should never be on the lips of Christians. We know the idea that, if something bad happens, it's because he did something. That's why that bad thing happens to him. He was bad in the past, and it's just coming home to roost. No. Look at John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Together, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him.'" I was preaching this morning in Brantford, and I was talking about poverty. And, you know, there are times people are poor because they are lazy, but there are times when God ordains poverty as a way of training you and purifying you and preparing you for a life of service, for example. We don't know why God works in those ways, but we know he does. Might seem strange to us, but God has a purpose behind that. Yet, while God might work sometimes in these peculiar ways, which might seem out of the ordinary, because we think if you're good, you should get a reward. If you are obeying God, you should be rich. That's Joel Osteen. That's not Christian. And yet, there's a certain predictability of how God may work. Consider some examples. If you are lazy and you don't fix the hole in your roof, you will get snow on your bed. But the Lord may stop it from snowing. I know it doesn't feel appropriate talking about snow in July, but the Lord may cause it not to snow. But that's not the usual way. If you don't fix the hole in your roof, you're going to get snow in your bed. That's normal providence. If you eat and you don't work or don't exercise, you'll probably gain weight and get sick. Enoch got favorable mention in this someday. But it may be that you'll still stay like Enoch. If you eat a lot and you don't exercise. Now he does, but you know what I mean. But that's not how God providentially works. If you keep eating and you don't exercise, you're probably going to grow outwardly. That's the normal course of providence. If you don't take your medicines, you'll probably get sicker. Can God make you survive without medicines? Absolutely. Jesus did miracles. But that's not the normal course of providence. Does he usually do so? No. That's why those people are suing Benny Hinn, so many of them, because they thought they were promised that they were healed, and then many relatives died as a result of stopping their medicines. That's the normal course of providence. If you're a foolish Christian who plays with poisonous snakes in worship like a bunch of people do at the foothills of the Blue Mountains, or in the Blue Mountains themselves, in the south, you're likely to get bitten by a snake and die. Could God save you from getting bitten? Or even if you're bitten by a snake, could he preserve a poisonous snake? Could he preserve your life and get you to a hospital? Yes. Is that what God normally does? No. You play with poisonous snakes, you're likely to get killed. So while there are things that might happen that might be outside of what we consider normal or things that might be peculiar, yet there's a predictability, right? And that's where providence works. You race down the road, could you get where you're going safely? Yes, but you're likely more likely to get in an accident if you're not careful. So that's how God works. So that's the doctrine of providence. Let's look at application now. And that's question 28, how man applies providence. Question, how does this knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? Together, we can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that nothing will separate us from his love. All creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will they can neither move nor be moved. So, because God, your Heavenly Father, providentially rules over every creature and every action, you can be patient when things don't go the way you might expect them to go. You know you're His child, and He will always do what is best for you. This is why Job was able to say what he did. Although he experienced the greatest of hardships in his life, losing his children, his wife turning against him, his wealth, his influence. If you read Job 29, he talks about losing his place of prominence and being able to give advice to others. He lost all of that. He said in Job chapter 1, verse 21, together, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord God, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was willing to accept what came from God's hand. The Apostle James explains that you are God's children through Jesus Christ. And because of that, you could even look forward to troubles, knowing that God will bless you for patiently enduring those troubles. Did you get that? Let's read that verse first in James chapter 1, verse 2, together. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So, what if you lose your job? Can you count it a joy, knowing that this will ultimately work for your good? Or do you swear at your boss? Or do you get angry with God? Do you take it out on your wife, or husband, or children? If your computer crashes, do you whisper words against Bill Gates? Start thinking about, worry about how you can get to buy back another computer? If you get really sick, and it's a very difficult thing when you get sick and you want to do things and you can't do them. Maybe you're bedridden. Or one of the more common ones these days, if you lose your cell phone. What goes across your mind? You know how much you need that and all the contact information, things you have there. And how do you feel? You feel like somehow God doesn't love you, that you lost your cell phone? What if you fail a grade in school? Now, it might mean you have to work harder, but how do you respond to some terrible thing like that happening to you? Or if someone backs into your car after you bought it. I remember that when we had a new car many years ago and went to church of all places. First Sunday, car to church, lady backs into it. Left some good impressions on it at the back. How do you feel? I shouldn't have come to this church. I should have gone to that crazy church right down the street from where I was, and maybe it'll have been better then. No. You see, that's what James is pointing us to, that the trial, the various trials we go through, are there to test your faith. Produces patience. It's a sanctifying work of God when you experience the harsh realities of God's providence. But it's not a hateful thing. It's not that God hates you. It's because He loves you and He wants to purify you. He wants to teach you patience. Second, because God, your Heavenly Father, providentially rules over every creature and every action, you can be thankful when things go well. So, your plants are probably struggling to grow in the beautiful weather we've been having of late. You learn patience. You learn to take care of the plants, you may have to water some more, but you learn to take care of the plants. What happens when the rain comes and you enjoy that? Do you remember to thank God when the rain comes? You were very quick to complain, like, hey, where's the rain? We need some rain. I don't want to spend money watering the grass. But do you remember as well? That's what God expects. That's what His providence does. So when the rain comes, you say, thank you, Lord, for providing rain so the crops can grow. We can have food. When that happens, don't take the credit, give the credit. This was specifically explained to the Israelites before they entered into the promised land. And this must be part of your daily lifestyle as well. Thank God often. Don't take the credit for that which belongs to Him. After all, as the scripture says, what do you have that you have not received? Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 together. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. So you're going there, and what happened? How long did it take them to plant those vineyards? They were already there. How long did it take them to dig the wells? God gave them the wells. What about those homes? They were already made for them. He says, when you're eaten and you're satisfied, thank God. Praise God. 3. Because God, your Heavenly Father, providentially rules over every creature and every action, you can have confidence that God will keep you safe forever. He's your Heavenly Father. Don't you think He will do what is best for you? Most earthly fathers try their best to do what's best for you, and they're full of sin. Imagine your Heavenly Father. So you can have this confidence. So on one hand, you learn patience when things are bad. On the second hand, you learn that you must be thankful. And now you learn that you must put your trust in God. You can have confidence in Him. Psalm 55, verse 2, together. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He didn't say, keep the burdens to yourself or only give me some. He says, cast your cares upon me. You're worried about something? Throw it on me. You're uncertain about the future, relationships you're involved in, jobs, difficulty in raising children. Cast your burdens upon me. He will take care of you. Yeah, He didn't say that you wouldn't have any trouble. I heard this silliness this morning, I guess. My favorite fraud on television, Joel Osteen, he said, you know what? Prosperity is in your DNA. Security is in your genes. That God put that in you. You're bound to be that way. No, he didn't. The Bible doesn't say that. He says, God will give you confidence in the future. You might have some troubles in life. After all, you think about it. The Lord Jesus went around with people who, and they took up arms. Arms, that's how they were supported. Apostle Paul, helped by other people. There's no guarantee of being perfectly healthy or perfectly successful in life. But you can have confidence that the Lord will do what is best for you. Look at that example here in the fact let's read Romans 5:3 and see this picture, how the Lord describes the security. Even the fact that your names are written in heaven, and that's something that cannot be revoked. Romans 5:3-5 together. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because your hope is in Jesus, and He is your Savior. God's Word and God's Spirit will work to reassure you that God will never leave you. Jesus didn't die to leave you. So you work, you live, you eat, you marry. You haven't raised kids because God rules. Romans 8:38 together. Neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what can come your way? You're secure in Him. Your future is bright. And since God rules the world by His providence, and since you can be patient in trial, and since you can be thankful in prosperity, and since you can be confident in the future, what's the result? Then you have nothing to fear. Yes, you must work. Providence does not take away responsibility. But you are not to fear. Now, I heard Dr. Sproul mention something about this morning, and he said, you know, there are a lot of negative things or prohibitions that the Lord gives. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do it. But the one that comes up the most is don't fear. Don't fear. Because He knows our tendency. That's why people reject this doctrine, because there's arrogance of thinking it's about me and my abilities. And when you realize you can't do it, you fear. If you grasp this, if you grasp the doctrine of providence, then fear is removed. So examine your life for a minute and think if fear controls you or if Jesus controls you. If Jesus, then be bold. Work, live, love, serve. But if fear controls you, you need to deal with that issue first. And then, because providence is so dear and useful, the Apostle Paul used it as an evangelistic tool. He reminded the Athenians that Jehovah God was the creator and keeper of all things and persons. He doesn't hide away and say, well, God controls everything, so kind of evangelism, repentance and faith just gets tossed out. No. He talked about God's sovereign control of all things. So don't hide this doctrine. The world needs to put their trust in the one who sustains the world. That's the great God, not the God of the Arminians who say the hands of God are tied. He's done all He could. Now it's up to you. Because it isn't. Let's read that last passage from Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul talking about this doctrine in Athens. Together, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, and He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of all their gods. And then He says, He's the one who commands you to repent. He says, He controls all things, but He commands you to respond. Human responsibility. He doesn't say, well, this one kind of plays against the other, and therefore one must be true. He taught both of them is true. Read again also in Romans 9. So you might ask the question, if God controls all things, then what's human responsibility? And He says, none of you, it's not your business to talk back to God. You do what God says you must do. Because God's, remember, His providence plays out with, has the wrappings of human responsibility. That's the normal way. That's why you cook and you kill whatever might be growing in your food, and then it's safe to eat. If you don't, you probably get sick. That's the way God works. That's human responsibility. Is He able to allow you to eat some raw food and you'll survive? Yeah. But is that the normal thing? No. So God's sovereignty and God's providential care does not take away human responsibility. Let's conclude. The doctrine of providence is a beautiful doctrine. God the Father, your Father, rules over every creature and every action, and nothing happens outside of His will. Not one single thing. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, knowing this doctrine, don't fear and don't worry. Know who your Father is. Who your Father is and what He's able to do. Whatever He has promised, He will do. Be thankful when things go well. Be patient when things don't go the way you expect them. Second, don't put unreasonable pressure on yourself trying to control things that you can't. Put your confidence in God's promises. So, if you get cancer, you can either get better or you will die. What's the common thing there? You're a child of God. If you lose your cell phone, either you will find it back or you will buy a new one, or maybe, strange thing, you might learn to live without one. But you do have a permanent telephone line to the one who needs to hear from you more than anyone else in this world. Or the one who wants to hear from you. The one you need to talk to more than anyone else in this world. Your Father in heaven. You've got that line. You've got something more. So if you lose your phone, it's not the end of the world. If you miss the bus and you lose your job, seems like a tragedy, but you never lose your citizenship in heaven. You're still God's child, and He'll still provide for you. He'll still take care of you. You will still go to heaven one day. So how much change is there? Well, you lost a job. When you put it in perspective, it just seems like a small thing. Instead of worrying, then, let this doctrine cause you to worship God better. That's it. Let this doctrine cause you to worship God better. He's the one who truly cares for you. And even when things don't seem like they're going the way it should, it's still for your good. That's the one you should worship. And then third, teach this doctrine to your children. Young people are facing many pressures in the world today, and I heard today that 35%, this week, 35%, something around that, of high school students are struggling with stress. Why do you struggle with stress? It's because you don't trust the providence of God. You make a fair effort, you work hard, and you leave the rest in the hands of the Lord. So remind your children that God controls all things, and they have a responsibility to study hard. But they don't need to be worried. God will provide for them. What is it that makes kids get into the stressful state? Pressure, you've got to succeed. You've got to have all A's. I've got to have something to boast about to the neighbors. Well, that's not what God calls you to do. Yeah, your child may not be a university professor or doctor, but your child will be a child of God anyway. That's what God wants for you. So teach this doctrine to your children. And why wouldn't you not fear or worry? You should not. Why should you not put unreasonable pressure on yourself? And why must you teach this doctrine to your children? Because you are the blood-bought children of God through Jesus Christ. And finally, if you're not a Christian, you have reason to be worried. I said, all the Christians don't need to be, but if you are not a Christian, you got reason to be worried. You don't have God's promises to do what is best for you. You're not His child. And all His children will, those who are not His children will go to hell. But you can fix that if you ask God to make you His child on account of His satisfying His wrath in Jesus Christ. Christ died for the sins of all those who truly call to Him, and He saves them. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us the reminder of your providential care. Father, we sometimes put so much pressure on ourselves and our children, thinking we have to control everything. But we've been reminded again that when things don't go the way we want, you're teaching us patience. When things go the way we'd like to, that are good for us, remind us to be thankful. And whatever happens, may we put our hearty trust in you, because you are our Father through Jesus Christ. Let us leave here rejoicing in that confidence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.